You are listening to Nonsenseology.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of Nonsenseology. We got a special guest with us tonight that we're actually announcing. Last time we had a surprise guest, but this time it's actually announced. So we got our good friend Brandon Adams here.
Welcome Brandon to the table today.
How you doing, Brandon?
Thanks for having me, boys. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he's going to throw in a little bit of his own nonsense into it.
His expertise, his little taste of nonsense.
I don't know about expertise,
but it should be a good time. My topic this week is fears. So everyone is scared of something. We're going to open up a little bit, share. I don't want no one, holding nothing in.
My fear is small calves.
I know you're scared of something, and if you aren't, you're lying.
Well, what, I mean, are you talking about like that deep-seated fear, like losing family?
It could be anything.
Like losing family, something deep like that is pretty common for everybody. Yeah. But if you're talking about tight spaces. Like, I'm not going to
give you an example just to so it
he
gets
your... He said an example.
You're afraid of clowns or something, aren't you?
Well, just get the ball rolling here.
He's afraid of the bass.
So, when I no longer live at my dad's, but when I did, even when I was like 22, and it's just basements. Dude, dark basements just freak me out.
Bro, didn't you used to hang out in your basement all the time?
Why?
But it's just like every time, like when I was, shutting everything down, getting ready to go back upstairs.
You'd sprint upstairs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd turn the last light off and I would just dart up those stairs even at the age of 22.
What did you think was going to happen?
Did you ever do this when your previous girlfriend, now wife, was visiting you? Or did you do it when you were alone?
No, if he's with somebody, he acts all cool.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Like, yeah. Friend, Taylor. I'd make them go up the stairs first, and then I'd be like, I'm turning the last light off, and then, just take off the stairs.
So, follow-up question to that. How many times did you bust ass trying to get up those stairs and trip?
Oh, thousands of times. Thousands of times.
I needed to know that.
Thousands. So, before we go any further, I gotta get my spiel on facts.
Yeah,
right?
What facts could you possibly have on fears? I was curious to see what you bring.
Always, I've been doing it for all the episodes now. So, looked up America's top 10 most common fears, and we're start at number 10, darkness, which I kind of just touched on myself. So, are you guys afraid of dark at all? No?
I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. I mean, I'm not going to walk into a dark room that I'm unfamiliar with because I'm not going to get jumped or something. But if I like walk through my house in the pitch black, I'm not going to be scared.
Not even your basement?
No.
Oh, okay. I guess
I'm like 98% sure that the only thing down there is like a water heater, sub pump, something like that. So,
number 9 is very... not logical. Zombies, because obviously zombies aren't real.
Whoa, so. Hey, actually, there are invasive fungi.
Okay. Unless you take bath salts, right?
Well, no, actually, no. There are literally fungi that have been shown to basically invade, like, insects. It overtakes these insect bodies, controls their mind, and these insects literally become, like, walking zombies. There's also been, if I'm not mistaken, there's been mutations of this... fungi that have been found inside of, I'm not positive if it's a fungi, but it's been found inside of deer that causes deer to enter a zombie-like state, and there are theories that could potentially be transferred over to humans. So yeah, a zombie apocalypse, there's a potential for it.
You know what I've realized during these episodes of the podcast is Austin just has so many facts to give.
I was going to say, too, I heard that if you see any blue meth, if you start seeing a lot of it in the town, you might want to move, because that could really just start up some zombie apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. That was a cool thing to talk about. Who was it that talked about that? That was you, Zach, that talked about that conspiracy. Yeah. That was pretty interesting, and I've told a lot of people about it. So I did enjoy that.
He did claim it as his fact, by the way.
Absolutely.
I would never do such a thing. I said Zach was talking about conspiracies, and you brought one conspiracy that I'd never heard about, and it was really cool.
It took him like six conspiracies, but he finally got an original one that we hadn't heard of.
Well, I'm kind of a nerd, so I read all that crap all the time, you know. So
it is hard to come up with original thoughts these days.
It's hard to come up with an original idea.
Number eight, strangers.
Xenophobia, I believe. Is that the fear of strangers? Or the fear of people?
Well, I was going to say, Zach actually has a fear of strangers because when I remember going back to when he first met me, he put up a defense mechanism and made blatant racist comments towards me to assert his dominance.
I'm just bad at meeting strangers. I'm not afraid of strangers.
That's what every racist person says, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I feel like Brandon, you're definitely the most social person here. You definitely do a lot better in the social realm than the three of us. Zach, you're a pretty talkative person whenever you, like, if you're sat next to him or something.
Like a one-on-one.
Yeah. And then I feel like Kevin and I, if they approach us, we'll talk, but we're not going to go
our way kind of thing.
I don't normally start the conversation.
Yeah. Like the gym is a good example, too. Like, we run into a lot of people that we know and have seen, but, like, on almost our everyday basis, but we don't just randomly go up and talk to them. Now, if they initiate the conversation first, absolutely, you know, we'll shoot the shit with them or, you know, say hey or whatever, but
I'm pretty bad about that, man. Like, I know I just talk to so many people at the gym. It's kind of getting annoying, which is why I've been going to the other gym, other Y.
I don't blame you.
And, that's nice because I actually get to work out in, so. Fair. But anyways, back to fears.
Number seven, we're at flying.
Oh yeah, me, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, no. Okay, you want to talk about my biggest fear? Flying. I hate planes.
Yeah,
hate
same.
Them. And Zach, I'm going to go ahead and bring this up. Our little trip to Vegas. So.
Oh yeah, let's talk about this since we got Brandon here too.
Yeah, this is a good little story. Anyways, whenever we were flying, this other guy Damien was with all of us. We were going for Zach's bachelor party.
My cousin.
Yeah, the legendary.
All four of us were actually there. So Damien's never flown before, and I guess this is a little bit of karma for doing it like that because. We had seven tickets, and six of us got to sit next to each other, and Damien had to sit at the back of the plane by himself.
Did you mention he's never flown before?
Yeah, he's never flown before, ever. Yeah. That was his first time. Well, on the way back, dude, I hate flying. On the way back, we had a little bit of turbulence, and we're way up in the air. That was the highest I've ever flown before. I've only been on a plane like 10 times, right? And that was the highest up I'd ever been before, so I'm sitting there, got my head tucked. I'm clamping down on the arm things.
Who is sitting next to him?
I was actually sitting next to Zach and Austin. So my head was...
That was like, on our way back.
Yeah, on the way back. My head was buried. I'm sitting there sweating. Zach's looking out the window like, hey, look at this.
Look at this.
Look at this.
Look at the sky.
Hey, are you okay? But. And I'm like, dude, if you don't leave me alone, I'm sitting there getting cold sweats, like legit freaking out because I hate flying. And yeah, you just thought that was so funny, didn't you? I hate you.
I saw a weakness and I played on it.
So. I'm sure you did.
I understand that.
I didn't realize that you guys had gotten turbulence on the way back because I had taken the red eye out of Vegas at like 11.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And
this guy flew separately.
I had to fly separately, no delays whatsoever.
Thankfully, though, because he already had the room and everything set up when we got there, considering we were 4.5 hours delayed.
Five hours,
I swear to God, correct me if I'm wrong, we were pulling out of the tarmac. And I swear I heard a power tool like they were tightening one last bolt on the plane. And I was like, well, we might die.
I'm glad you didn't tell me that, dude.
But I'm glad at 2 a.m. we're finally heading out. And if we get there, we get there. If we don't, we don't.
I thought the plane we were on was very comparable to the plane that...
the Wright Brothers flown.
Well, I was going to say the plane that was flown in Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, yeah.
If you recall that one.
Dude, the very first time I ever flew was in a... was from Evansville to Chicago. So it was literally a 45-minute flight. Tiny, tiny, tiny plane.
Yeah, it was like 10
people. Never been
in
a plane. And yeah, there's only like 10 people in the whole thing. Well... Every single one of them was sitting there looking at me because I was doing the same thing. I had my head down. I'm freaking out. Like, first time I was ever taking off. These people were literally laughing at me. And the person next to me is like, it's okay, buddy. You'll be all right.
I won't.
I actually love to fly. I love to fly. Turbulence, you know, I'm not a huge fan of. There was one specific time where we did about 25 minutes of turbulence. And I was like, well, you know, we might be going down. I'm not a fan. You know what? Can I just get another shot over here? Just bring me another mixed drink since we're going to be doing this.
Dude,
I can do without the turbulence, but I do love to fly.
All right, on to number six.
Yeah. Yep, number six, and this one, I'm definitely that. This is me being enclosed in a small space or claustrophobia.
Yeah, yeah, yep. That makes sense.
Same to a certain extent.
Yeah, I'm way more afraid of flying. You could stuff me in a freaking coffin for a month if I don't have to go on a plane.
You dogpile me, I am going to flip my shit.
See, that doesn't bother me. I couldn't be like locked inside of a box. That would freak me out.
I was never claustrophobic until about 5 years ago. I went on a trip with USI to go to Marengo Caves. And so we went actually down into the ground, and about 2/3 of the way through, there was this little like tunnel that you could crawl into. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'll do almost everything once. So I start crawling in this tunnel. Well, I'm not fat by any means, but I'm sure as shit not skinny either. And
I figured this is where this
I
is
swear
going.
I had maybe an inch of clearance on the top and the bottom, and I was flipping out. And then we get to the other side, and what I didn't realize is I had to make the trek all the way back, and it was like 125 feet of like 2 feet that you were crawling through.
You had to go back.
Now I think I'm a little claustrophobic.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I don't know if you would consider this claustrophobia, but I definitely felt like it fit the bill. Was like Spartan race or whatever. Oh, Tough Mudder.
Mm-hmm.
The obstacle where it was like water, and then there was a chain link fence, and you had to, and there was like basically like 5 inches of breathing air between the fence and the water. Dude, that one flipped me out. Just because
it's literally like 20 meters.
But we're gonna crawl a fence.
But I mean, don't you think that's kind of?
I think that's the point. Is it supposed to play on people's fears?
Well, but I feel like that was claustrophobia, right?
Mental toughness and fortitude.
Maybe a little bit of claustrophobia.
Yeah, you're probably more afraid of drowning at that point because you're submerged. Like, you're literally submerged in water, and you're holding your face up to this chain link fence trying to pull yourself. You know, it's an obstacle course, but it's a lot of fun.
It's kind of hard when you keep dunking your face down into the water. So
that's why I said just hold your breath and just... I literally held my breath and just tucked my head and just pulled myself as fast as I could. And I didn't even pull my head up above water. It's not very long. It's literally like 20, 30 feet.
All right, well.
King Spartan over here.
Can't help it.
Sounds like he's low-key calling me a wuss. Anyway, number five, blood and needles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Vaccine.
We've gotten a couple tattoos.
Yeah, we all have tattoos. So I don't think any of us are afraid of needles.
I think it's more so getting blood drawn.
I'm not afraid of needles, but I definitely am not one of those people that can look and watch while my arm gets pierced.
Oh, I would either.
Some people love to watch it. I'm going to look away, and I'm not going to like it, but I'm not going to run away from it.
I mean, I'm just indifferent about it. Like, if I see it, whatever. I used to donate plasma when I was in high school to, you know, make a couple extra bucks.
I was going
to
say,
by the way, you
can make some money.
That's for crackheads.
Yeah. I've always been curious. Does donating plasma hurt more than donating blood? Plasma hurt more than blood?
I think it hurts a little more because, this is, again, my opinion. I could be wrong. I think the needle for plasma is a little bit thicker, and you have to sit there and, like, pump your hand. As you're having that.
What's the difference between plasma and blood?
Plasma is like the... So your blood is your bone marrow. Blood cells. I mean, sort of, I guess. But you're like your blood cells, whereas plasma is like the liquid that...
Is in your bones.
I'm more better at the whole technology and space thing. I don't know much about the medical field, but I would guess that plasma is what helps transfer.
Well, Kevin,
what helps transfer?
You're a little
blood
familiar
cells.
With the medical field. What's the difference?
Yeah, you're a part of that.
Blood and plasma.
Weren't you a phlebotomist?
No, not exactly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it kind of ties along to with what Austin said, though. But what's your original question? Like, just what is the difference?
What's the difference between blood and plasma?
I think Google's going to give you a better representation than I would.
So he's no
code. Yeah, okay. So blood plasma is a yellowish liquid component of blood that holds the blood cells of whole blood in suspension. So it's kind of like the liquidy part of your blood that helps transport blood throughout
the
veins.
So it's the cell membrane of blood.
No.
That's why I got a D in biology. Okay.
Yeah, we know, bud. I was there.
I mean, I got a C, so I'm not much better.
Okay.
I love biology.
Number four here, drowning.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's a reasonable fear. That would suck.
We obviously just went over that I have a fear of drowning. So
I was kind of surprised that flying is not a little bit higher up on the list.
That doesn't really surprise me. There's millions of people that fly every day, so I guess I kind of
But it doesn't mean
that
they're not scared shitless of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy though to think about. Everybody, you know, drives. Everybody drives, and nobody, most people, don't think, you know, twice about it. But when you actually look at the statistics, it's way more safer to be on an airplane.
Way safer
than it is to be driving. And I know it's the fear of the unknown that you're not in control, but the amount of danger you're actually in every day on the road compared to the little bit you're on in the plane. And yet everybody's afraid of flying has always cracked me up.
I like to be a little conceited here and think that I'm a better driver than the majority of people. Knock on wood, never had a ticket, never been in a wreck, never been in a fender bender or anything like that.
He's got a mark to mark at a speed.
I'm a pretty good driver. Again, knock on wood. But I don't know about that dude flying a plane. You pretty good at flying planes? Because you can't just be pretty good at flying planes. You got to be really, really, really good at flying planes.
Well, if there's one thing that my fear of flying has taught me, I've watched every time I get ready to go on a big trip, because I've flown overseas several times, I do I'll watch a YouTube video on to learn the signs, and it kind of eases my fears a little bit. So much of the plane, once you get off the initial, after the first 20 minutes, is just autopilot from there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the biggest, the most dangerous part of flying is taking off.
Yeah.
Because that's where your most mechanical errors could happen. Yep. Landing is dangerous as well, but the pilots are very highly trained in how to handle a poor landing. A lot better than saying something that the engine locking up or a pilot error. He forgets to flip a hatch, a switch or something, and then you're plummeting.
Well, I mean, Captain Phillips is a perfect example of that. If you guys have seen that movie,
Landed to do the landing in the Hudson.
Landed the plane in the Hudson River because it was going down over New York City, and he had very little time to react. Landed the whole plane, no casualties, in the Hudson River.
Yeah, that's insane.
They're extremely, extremely highly trained.
They're very
played
very
by the great Tom Hanks.
But when you have great Tom Hanks that it just spirals you out of control, that you just can't, but you don't have the time to react, you know, because like the UE plane crash, that was a pilot error, if I'm not mistaken. He literally forgot to undo
the what
something.
Plane crash?
The UE plane crash back in the 70s.
The
UE basketball team?
Oh, 70s. Okay, that's why I don't remember.
A long time ago.
That's a big event. You live here. You should know
that.
That
was a huge part of the
town's
history.
That's a huge part of Evansville culture and history.
Well,
they actually have a memorial wall, if I remember correctly, at the Ford Center.
Because they did have it at Robert Stadium.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's sad. But it was a pilot error, and I mean, whenever their initial takeoff, he just couldn't control it. He lost control too quickly, and that was that. Lost the whole team, except for one player, and then a month or two later, that player died in a car accident.
Yeah.
Talk about some Final Destination shit. That's insane.
Yeah, because, they didn't make it, 2 miles away from the airport, because they crashed at the Drury Inn.
Yeah, they crashed.
Right there on 41. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's insane.
There's pictures of the wreckage and stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
It's actually interesting to look at. Zach, what else you got?
So where did I stop at? I think I stopped at drowning. Number three is bugs and insects.
I'm not afraid of them, but I've been watching Fear Factor recently. By the way, if anybody wants to watch it, it's all on Hulu. It's all on Hulu, so I've been watching it in my free time. I'm not afraid of bugs, but the idea of being just covered by some spiders. Some snakes. You know, I'm not necessarily afraid of it, but I sure as hell wouldn't enjoy it. Wouldn't enjoy it by any means.
I think working outside, I mean, I'm around bugs all the dang time, dude.
Yeah, you said you saw a praying mantis the size of your face, right?
No, I had a praying mantis about the size of my hand. That was pretty cool.
No, you said face.
I mean, I might have said face, but was I under
Refer back to episode one.
Was I under the influence, bud?
I don't know.
All right, well... You cannot hold me accountable for that. So, but yeah, I found a big old praying mantis. Anyways, go ahead.
So, the number two is heights. I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm
afraid. Heights, the flying and the heights are two, one and the same for me.
But I have a fear of falling. I have no issues of...
Why would you have a fear of falling? Falling doesn't hurt. Landing does. Falling doesn't.
Falling is a thrill. There are people that jump out of planes every day.
Yeah, I don't know. Feeling of falling is just terrifying to me. I don't know why.
I don't mind heights, but I guess again that's because I work around them a lot. So
it's weird. I don't mind heights. I went to New York a couple years ago, and I went all the way up to the top of the Empire State, which is almost like 1,000 feet or something like that. Stood right up on the edge. Dude, it was cool. It was so cool to look at. But what does scare me is back in like the 20s and the 30s when they were really building up New York City, they were 70, 80, 90 stories up with no safety harnesses, walking these beams
and
building that.
I'm glad you
and I could not do that. And I think it's more of the scaredness of like the wind hitting me wrong and pushing me over or me losing my balance. Yeah. But the heights itself doesn't matter to me a whole lot.
I'd do that.
So it's well. That profession is ironworking. My brother used to be an ironworker for and help build a lot of the taller buildings here in Evansville. And he's got an old, I'm sure you all have seen the old picture of the guy sitting above the New York City skyline and just like eating lunch or something. Mm-hmm. That's such an iconic photo. But there's no safety harnesses. There are so many casualties from those type of like careers. And you just knew like when you went home, like you may or may not like have lost a buddy at work that day or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some balls and you have to trust yourself.
Yeah.
You have to have a lot of confidence to be up on that stuff.
And I've learned too that your tool belt has so much to do with it too, because your tool belt is kind of like your balancing guide, because you're putting several pounds on it to kind of even you out.
I would almost bet, I mean, just depending, I bet a lot of those dudes probably didn't even use a tool belt. I mean, depending on what you're working on and what exactly it is you're doing, you might just have like a welding machine or, you know, like a big old, more or less a drill just to help bolt that shit together. But yeah, odds of, I wouldn't, I mean, they're not going to have like on those big old industrial
you're have screwdriver or some
they're
shit.
They're not going to have a hammer and nail up there. That's some
this
serious
is just going
shit.
To town.
Yeah. So, drum roll, number one is public speaking, which
interesting.
Public speaking too.
No, I hate public speaking.
You have so many fears, bud.
So much. I guess it's more so public speaking. When it's first off a topic, I could care less to talk about. Second off, if you're forcing me to do it, so. And I've heard it more so than not that people are more nervous to public speak in front of people they know versus people they don't know, which I'm the opposite. I'd be more comfortable public speaking in front of just a room full of people I know versus people that are complete strangers.
I definitely get that. You're going to have the fear of being judged a lot. I mean, you'd have that. That fear would be more apparent around people that you know, I think.
So kind of on the lines of public speaking too, and you'll be the only one that can speak to this expertise. When you got married, wish I could have been there. It sounds like a great time. Love the photos. When you got married, and you're essentially public speaking, in that moment, were you just focused on you, your wife, and the minister, or did you know?
Oh, yeah, no, everything else melted away. I wasn't even...
That's what I wondered, because, you know, you are technically speaking in front of people, but at that moment, like, being in that situation, I'm sure you are just focused.
I did not look... to my left at all.
I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit, because what I was going to say with public speaking, I don't mind public speaking if I know the topic that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you ask me about something that I know really well, I can talk to anybody about it. But if it's something that I don't know well, not so much. So kind of to touch on Zach right here, probably the reason it didn't bother you very much is you were so certain of those words and all
sure,
that mattered
yeah.
to you was Taylor in front of you. And so it didn't matter. There could have been 10,000 people there. There could have been two people there. But you were so certain of what you were saying. You knew it in your heart. It didn't mm-hmm. matter who was there.
Yeah.
That's pretty spot on. I agree.
Oh, that was beautiful, Brandon.
I took a public speaking
class. It's about time you guys had me on.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I took a public speaking class my freshman year of college.
God, I hated public speaking.
Dude, I loved it. I was so nervous, but when I very first went up there for my very first speech, because, you know, you had to do them in front of the class, there's a few people that went in front of me, and man, they were real nervous. Their voices were all cracky. They were real shaky. And I'm like, as I was walking up there, I was like, dude, I mean, I was nervous, but I was like, man, everybody in here is nervous. Everybody's nervous. Like, there's nothing to be nervous about, man. So I was like, I'm just going to go in here and I'm going to kill it. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to be enthusiastic. I did great. And man, I really loved that public speaking class. I did well in the class. Got to meet a lot of people and really learned to enjoy public speaking. Not that anybody cares to listen to me, but I enjoy it.
Well, we would like to think people do, considering we're recording you talk, so...
I'm talking about out in, like, a real public setting, you know? Like, I don't think anybody's going to sit me down. I don't think an auditorium of people are going to sit me down to listen to me talk about anything.
Yeah, now, come on down to your public library and hear Austin Williams.
Guest speaking today, Mr. Yeah. Austin Williams.
On Eagles. Zach, get out of here.
So I'm going to just... So we touched on some of my fears. I got a couple more. I got a fear of getting fat. I've...
Getting fat.
I see where you're going.
I was just getting.
Anyway, even before I started working out, I was just super self-conscious of my body.
Skinny?
And it's become even worse since I've started working out, and I refuse to let myself go, essentially. I freak out about it all the time, though.
The day you start working out is the day you'll never be satisfied.
Yep.
I was never satisfied even when I was working out. So.
There is a 16-year-old who's benching 200 pounds.
Oh, by the way, what's your squat? I just want to know.
The last time I did my PR on squat was 345 plates on each side.
Should I even tell him?
No.
Do you want to know what Keegan's max is?
Keegan... Your brother?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
The 16-year-old brother.
The only Keegan that we know, possibly the only Keegan in Evansville. So I'd say, yeah, probably his brother.
I know a bunch of Keegans, but...
All right, thanks for that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I do know a few
Keegans. Yeah, sure, let's hear it.
Huh?
Let's hear it.
Hear what?
Might as well.
Oh, Keegan's squat? He hit 355 today, bro. 355.
For a warm-up.
Good.
That's crazy.
Dude, it's been so crazy. You know, we've been hanging out consistently for probably 5 years now, and seeing Keegan then, because how old is Keegan now?
16. Just turned 16.
So he was 11, let's say 10 at the earliest. The total body transformation. The dude's a stud now.
Oh, yeah, bro. Well, I mean, he's...
Don't say that too loud. He might hear you somewhere.
he's hitting that puberty, getting all that testosterone hitting him and stuff, and...
Well, his two older brothers are lazy, sexy shit.
He works out all the time, and he just loves doing it. You know, he doesn't do it because he has to or because he's worried about getting fat like us, but he loves doing it.
It's awesome. I didn't say that was the only reason I work out. I love doing it, too.
Yeah, I know, but he really, we love it, but no, he loves it. Like, he's still, I mean, dude, okay, we're 27, 28 at this point. Our testosterone, it's still high, but it's not as high as a 16-year-old kid.
No, it's at its climax.
It's winding down.
A good enough reason to use the word climax.
No,
not at all, but it's cool. I mean, yeah, dude, he's
pinnacle.
That's a better word. yeah, he's a beast, man.
Last thing I'll say on fears, just to kind of wrap it up, was I know I definitely had this, and whether you guys want to admit or not, I feel like at least at some point in your life you had this FOMO, right? You guys had the fear of missing out.
No.
I know.
I'm always out. What do you mean? Brandon is literally always out.
Dude, it's literally probably easier to pull a tooth than it is to get me out of my house. I don't care about missing out on nothing. I do what I do, and I like doing what I do.
Oh, so if, say, a couple of years ago, you missed out on Bonnaroo or something, and then, you know, Brandon and everyone else is there having a good time, you're just like...
That happened.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've missed Bonnaroo a couple times.
Oh, and you just you didn't
happened
care?
And
did not care at all. I mean, it sucks, but whatever, that's life.
Well, he definitely did care, but not enough to go. Very sad about it during and after. This was 2019. But at the end of the day, I think you were pretty happy with their decision because you had some other things you had to do that time.
I mean, I wasn't like down in the dumps or anything. I was like, well, that sucks. I wish I could be there, but whatever. That's just part of it, man.
Well, to kind of
have anxiety over it. I don't sit there and think about, well, I mean, what is everybody doing? Oh, what is everybody doing out at the bars, you know?
To kind of piggyback that off a little bit.
I don't have that anymore, but I used to do a lot. Go ahead and piggyback, Brandon.
To kind of piggyback on the FOMO a little bit, I think probably... One of my biggest fears is growing old and looking back and wishing that I had lived a better life or I had used my body more when it was good and healthy or that I'd spent more times with my friends and my family because, you know, I enjoy going out to the bar and I enjoy, you know, my thing is experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice to have nice things. It's nice to drive the nice car. It's nice to have the nice house. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what matters most to me is creating experiences where I can get my friends together, where we can have a good time and we can make a memory. So it's partly FOMO because when I see my friends out and I'm sitting at home, in the back of my head, it's like, man, I know I want to be at home, but they could have a great night, and that could be a memory that I miss out on with my friends. But I think the bigger picture is I don't want to be 50 years old, 60 years old, and look back and think, man, I spent too much time sitting in my living room watching TV when I could have been out, you know, experiencing
that episode of whatever a million times.
The one you've seen 4, 5, 6 times. So that's probably my biggest fear. It's something I think about every day. I just want to make the most out of the life I have.
Yeah, that absolutely makes
good
sense.
Good mentality.
Yeah, don't be materialistic.
Yeah, I don't like to like lounge around and crap, man. I feel like I'm constantly working on something, you know, whether it's putting together a workout routine, putting together meal plans, or just working around something on the house. Now that I have a freaking house, dude, I have so many projects and so much stuff I want to do. It's like, I don't know that it'll ever end.
All right, Tim the Tool Man Taylor. I'm glad you...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty accurate.
Glad you got your serotonin back.
Yeah, I feel great.
Well, is that... anything more to tag on with, talking about fears?
No.
Fear of Zach talking anymore.
The key, key to FOMO is experiences, and don't be materialistic. Be a minimalist.
Well, speaking of FOMO, though, you know, what kind of contributes to that is my topic for this week, going into a nice little smooth transition, is the evolution of cell phones. So I remember when growing up, and we all grew up in the same time frame because we're all the same age, that, you know, there would be, you know, if you told kids that were 13-year-olds today that we used to wait until after 9 p.m. to call our friends, or go wait till on the weekends to call them because it was unlimited minutes and they're what you weren't getting.
Or go to a phone you had to put quarters in.
Go to a pay phone, or like you had to, you know, you couldn't be on the home phone when someone was on the internet and things like that. Just to look at the advancement and development in cell phones in general just in the past 10, 20, 30 years is probably one of the most significant pieces of technology that we have, because the
greatest invention ever.
I don't know about the greatest invention ever, but
you're right, we said that
the leaps and bounds that we have made in cell phones even in the last 5 years is substantial, to more so than just about any other piece of technology that people commonly use.
Absolutely. And like we talked about in episode 3, where we were talking about the Neuralink, I mean, the cell phone is, I mean, it's like a cybernetic extension of a human being. I mean, you have an infinite amount of knowledge right there in the palm of your hand that you can access almost infinitely.
So, doing some light research on my topic, just an article that I found on a British website that talks about cell phones.
Is that an important detail we needed to know? British?
Yeah, a little more sophisticated.
Okay.
In their most basic sense, mobile phones are used to allow us to keep in touch with others when we're on the go. But as technology has developed, there have been a rapid evolution of mobile phones. These days, they do so much more than just simply keep us connected. We can now carry out everyday tasks with ease, such as internet banking, paying for goods and services, staying connected with others, sharing pictures and stories via social media, browsing the internet, navigating to specific locations, or even just working outside the office. So if there's anything that, you know, we've relied upon more so, especially coming off of 2020 and working remotely and
our
things like that.
Our phones are a memory holder.
Absolutely. Yep. In every sense of the word. There's so much. I like, for the past 2-3 years, I've done my taxes straight from my phone. I mean,
I finished mine up today on my phone.
It's nice. So easy and convenient. There's so many more apps that just become more sophisticated, more developed, just when you think that it can't get even more efficient, it does the next time it comes around with an update or a totally new app or something.
My phone has allowed me to have a personal chef that I've never met, and it's called Freshly.
You almost don't even have to have a computer or a laptop anymore. You can do Microsoft Word. Mm-hmm. You can do PowerPoint. Yep. You can do literally almost everything on your phone. It's insane.
And
it's
even
absolutely
if those apps
insane.
Are a little iffy now, man. They're just going to keep improving in the next 5-10 years. They're going to be flawless.
Well, you're thinking about things that, I mean, think about the things that we have eliminated in the last, let's say, 10 years. That have now been compacted to one little device that we carry around all the time. Road maps. Or
calculators.
Or a GPS system. A calculator. A camera. A newspaper.
Timers.
timers, you know, stopwatches, things of that nature.
I mean, everything.
Things of that nature.
There's so much that we've eliminated and compacted into just this one little device.
My favorite thing about the cell phone, and still, I mean, it's the most primitive, basic concept of a phone, is just...
The game Snake.
Yes. No, I think that the ability, the capability of connecting with somebody completely on the other side of the world almost instantaneously is just, that's incredible. That's incredible in and of itself. I mean, despite all the apps and all that other stuff, that's cool, you know? And it's like, how? I don't even fully understand, but how, you know?
It's crazy to think, too, on the GPS side. I remember as a little kid, my parents got a Garmin.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it looked like, you know, it was a little fat box. It almost looked like the wide TVs that we got to before the flat screens. But you had to go every 6 months and update it if you wanted the new roads. Of course, we were poor, so we never, you know, hardly updated it. And I remember one trip specifically, we went down three roads that weren't even there anymore, and so we had to backtrack. And now, I'm pretty sure.
Grass?
No, like the road was just closed. Like they did away with the road. We hadn't upgraded it in like 2 years.
It just didn't exist.
It just disappeared.
Yeah,
but dude, Apple Maps and Google Maps, I'm pretty sure they update that daily.
Yeah. Almost
daily.
Just makes sense. I remember whenever. So it's crazy to think, and I have a question for y'all after this. But whenever I was a little kid, we used to use MapQuest. My parents would print out MapQuest and use that as directions. And then whenever I was younger and working here in town...
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of... Sorry to interrupt. I don't know if you've heard of this thing. It was made of paper, big book, called an atlas.
You mean the train at the gym?
Yeah, what?
My mom, road trips, she just whipped that thing out and...
Well, that's what I was getting, is in town we would have to use a big old fold, like a thing that would fold up into like eight little squares. It was a little town, a city map.
Yeah.
We'd bust that out and figure out where exactly we were at, where we were going. Yeah, we'd have to trace like the streets. That sucked. So yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had to do that.
Yeah, all other fights were surrounded by Atlas.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What was your question?
People used to carry phone books in the back of their cars. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Having your mom or your grandparents like, grab me the phone book.
Or some of the first telephones that were portable were in a briefcase.
It was in a bag phone.
Yeah, it was a briefcase phone. Or you look at some of these cars that were in the late 80s and the early 90s that had a cell phone in there, and that was the highest thing you could have.
Yeah.
And it looks like a whole home phone just in the middle of it. And you pull it out, it's got the cord and everything. And now
they were designed
you'd be laughed at. If you get in the car, like, hold on, let me open this. Let me call somebody on my phone that's 30 years old.
Plug it in to the cigarette lighter.
Yep. I mean, I might think that's kind of cool.
I miss the
Nikon. Okay, so my question to you, actually I have two questions, is do you remember your first cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
What
was your first phone?
Mine was it was a Nokia. It was flat. It had the buttons on the front. It had like the game Snake and like maybe like a Tetris or something like that. And it was a Track phone. Was the company? I think Track phone still like makes phones, but they obviously like
was
upgraded.
That just one of the
basic?
Yeah, no,
like
the
little
phones.
Square ones didn't have a flip thing or anything.
No, not basic screen.
They've
no
changed
colors.
Their name, changed their demographic. It's called consumer.
You got it.
I was probably 13, maybe.
Yep, that's what, how old I was.
And the only reason I got it is because I was in sports, so like I had to have a phone to call home and you know that get a ride and stuff like that from practices.
I got it when I was 13 because. I mean, you know, going and hanging out with friends, staying the night and all that crap. My first phone was a prepaid little flip phone from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to the gas station to get minutes for it.
Yes, I remember buying minutes for it.
I'm glad you asked the age thing because it's so interesting, especially now. I mean, there are some kids that are 8 years old, 9 years old that already have a phone.
But there's kids younger than that with phones.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
For me, mine was the iPhone 5C. And
high class.
Well, I did not get a phone until summer after my senior year of high school.
No kidding.
I did not have a phone because
talk about being off the grid.
I know because I had to pay for everything that I got in my family, and so I had to pay for a car first. I remember kind of side story. I bought my first car for $2,000. It was a 1998 Toyota Camry.
Here
it
goes.
And
Sport edition. It'll tell you the color and the trim.
It was black. And then it sat in my driveway for 6 months until I could pay it off, because I couldn't drive it until I paid it off.
Oh, shoot.
And I wanted a car first, so I got my car, and then I had to save up and make enough money where I could buy my phone and pay for my phone. So it was summer of my senior year, that was 2013, that I finally got my first phone.
Well, kudos to you, bro. That's awesome.
I couldn't wait.
I'm pretty sure my grandpa got me that little flip phone.
I'm actually really glad that I didn't get it until I was 18.
Yeah.
Because I think I enjoyed life a lot more. Yeah. Like I love having my phone, but I spend so much, an asinine amount of time on my phone. I don't even have the screen time on to where I don't want to look at it, because I'll be watching TV and I'm bored, and so I'm doing like three things at once and just not paying attention to the world around me. So I'm glad it wasn't until I was 18.
See, I didn't get a smartphone. I had a
sophomore in college.
I was a sophomore in college when I got a smartphone. So I had one of those little slide phones up until then.
First phone, it was...
Yeah, and you ate peanut butter and jelly off of crackers on South Van.
Sacrifices.
What? I never lived on South Van.
The hell?
Yeah, what's wrong with you, boy?
Cass Avenue, son.
I never lived on Cass either. What's wrong with you, boy?
Zach, what was your first phone?
Hey, I'm South Shelby.
Pretty much same as yours. I got a little Nokia track phone and got to pay for minutes on it and played Snake. I don't think I ever had a Razor. I moved on to one of those phones that...
I don't think I ever had a Razor either, to be
honest. Pretty dangerous. I'm glad you guys didn't have one.
Yeah.
Catch yourself.
That was a nice dad joke.
I know you'd appreciate that, Zach. Zach is the king of dad jokes, if you haven't figured this out yet, guys.
But my next phone was the one that slides up. It had two keyboards, slides up and slides sideways. Yeah, and
horizontal.
Man, I thought I was balling. So
at the time, you probably were.
With my long hair. And
when did you get your first smartphone?
Sophomore year in college.
No, it was in high school. It was probably my junior year of high school.
Yeah, you see.
I want to say roughly, it was probably the iPhone 4, I think. Yeah, iPhone 4.
Yeah, mine was the 4S or whatever.
So, I don't even remember what my first iPhone was. I don't know.
Sophomore in college, it was probably the 10.
I'm not that young. I have the 11 now, like 12. I don't know. It's got
11, I think, yeah.
The three cameras on it. I got one of them kajigers.
It's just crazy to think, you know, just kind of wrapping it up. Didn't want to spend too much time. I just want to pick y'all's brains and just drop some knowledge. Like, to look back and think, it'll be interesting to see in 5 years, in 10 years, you know, what are the second generation of nonsensology cell phones are going
to
have.
Let's not wrap it up, because I kind of have something that ties into it a bit. You want to talk about the advances of technology. What I was going to talk about is the idea of the technological singularity.
Okay.
It's called the singularity, which is basically the event of technology surpassing human beings, the intelligence behind technology surpassing the intelligence of human beings.
Mark, this is the fifth episode in a row we talk about iRobot.
It's interesting.
It always ties into iRobot.
I love referencing iRobot.
Yeah, I figured
that.
Hey,
Will,
out.
If you're hearing this, we're big fans.
Huge fans, and I've never seen iRobot, so... But really, the idea that technology will eventually surpass human beings, and then the thought that, well, will this technology, is it going to replace human beings? Or are we going to be able to coincide with this kind of technology?
Here we go back to the being in the simulation again.
So in what way do you mean replace? Do you mean just like...
I mean, what... Okay, so...
Is jobs? Because that's already happening.
No, think about this. So... What if we invent a technology that's smarter than us, it's more capable than us, it's more advanced than us, and pretty well every single way? How would it view humans? Is it going to view us as an equal, or is it going to look at us the same way that we look at something like a chimp? You know, we're looking at...
What do you mean?
Like, we just kind of...
Are you saying we want to kill chimpanzees?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with killing, but like, what if they just disregard us? What if...
Oh,
like,
so you're... Okay, sorry. Took it way too far. So you're saying... We look at chimpanzees as a lesser.
Yeah, more or less. We just look at them as a lesser. We kind of disregard, like, not that we're out to harm them or anything, but we just...
Jane Goodall, isn't it?
Yeah, no, she's a great person. Yeah, I think it's a. I think it's something that's very possible that we would get to the point where technology is so advanced that it's able to advance itself and would therefore, it wouldn't need humans because humans come with human error.
So you think they'll just kick us off planet Earth
once they get smart enough? We're talking about a Skynet situation, right? Terminator. I'm really disappointed that none of y'all got that Skynet reference. Yes, we're talking about Terminator.
But this is like a real thing. I mean, this is something that is like very possible, and they're talking about something reaching the singularity, reaching this tipping point could happen as soon as the middle of this century. So you're talking 2150 that this could happen. How insane would that
be? I mean, to a little bit of a degree, obviously not nearly as close to that, but to a little bit of a degree, we already kind of have that.
Absolutely.
Our phones learn who we are and what we do, and they suggest things for us. For example, a couple years ago, I used to always go to Lamasco's Bar and Grill every Thursday. Shout out Lamasco's.
A couple of years ago, you just went last week. You were there Friday.
I was there Saturday. And Thursday. I'm making myself look bad. I'm going out a little bit more right now, but when I was crazy going out a couple years ago, I would get off work at 9:30 in Mount Vernon, come home, and on my way home, I would get a map suggestion saying, hey, it's right about the time you always leave and go. Do you want to go to Lamasco's?
Yeah.
It says Lamasco's 7 minutes. Do
I
you want to go?
I like that.
Yep. Mine does that.
I'm going to do the same for the gym.
Mine does that for Dunning and Wimes.
That's scary.
That's hilarious.
It's a setting you can turn off on your phone. But yeah.
It's so cool, though, because and you're right, it is scary.
Tell me how long it would go to the gym.
Not only is this technology gaining more information daily, it's also gaining outlets to this information, more and more outlets to this information daily, because more and more people are accessing the internet every day. So, you know, if today we start off with 100 people, but tomorrow we have 1,000, the next day we have 1,000,000.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, it's just getting more and more access to all this technology, which is why I think that technology will end up being integrated to the point that it really won't need us.
I mean, they've been already talking about, and who knows how quickly it'll happen, they've been already talking about a chip that you can put in your hand or in your head, that you can pay for things, that is your phone, that is your technological link to the internet. Yep. And let me be the first one to say, for anybody else that has it, hell to the no from me. It's not happening.
That's
I'm not getting it.
That's a lot of what we talked about in episode
last
three.
Last week's episode, Nonsenseology. Check that out.
Ago, this was the Neuralink conversation, and that's something that you're interested in. Elon Musk, Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, I know.
Nonsenseology. We definitely dive into that.
But
check it out.
You could say no, you don't want to. And personally, and this is something else we can talk about here in a second, I don't think that I would do it either. I want to just live a normal life and die a normal, like, just let it go. But I think with that kind of mindset, I think that I will end up being, I think me and people like me will end up being left behind as...
We the minority,
as
for
the
sure.
As the scraps of the singularity. Because if these, you know, if people integrate themselves with this technology, then we have the possibility of creating, like, superhumans, more or less. Like, if people are just as smart...
Dude, if you tell me... Zach, we'll put this chip in your head, and you can become exactly like Captain America. Sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people like that. And you, if you decide to do that, you would be more cybernetically advanced, more physically advanced, mentally advanced, cognitively advanced.
Oh, I care about the strength. I don't care about the smarts.
So where do I get my costume?
Coming with all of that, man, comes the ability to control emotions, the ability to... you know, hey, you don't want to feel
great. Grave power
ways.
Comes great responsibility.
No. More or less, Spider-Man.
I kind of think of Divergent a little bit if you've seen that movie or read that book, and all of a sudden they just boom, they can take over your brain and you're the zombie.
Yep.
But also going back to if anybody follows biblical times and the end times. Dude, two of the biggest things they talk about is going to a one-world currency.
World peace,
And going to what basically crypto is, you know, Bitcoin, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And putting technology, putting those chips...
Those stamps on you.
...in your head and to not do that. Yep. And I just, even out of the biblical terms, it's so abnormal to think about that. We should not have that. Even though it's cool, the amount of signs that are all over... I'll be the first one to tell you I need to follow it more and I need to be a better Christian, but it scares the hell out of me see everything that's happening. It's cool to think about, but then when you look at a book that's literally mapping it all out and it's all happening like they said it was thousands of years ago. It's scary.
It's
crazy. Man.
It's very scary. Yeah, man, it's a tough thing to take in, and it's a lot to take in. But with that, it comes. I mean, we're into with the advancements of technology, we're basically into the point to where we are in an information revolution. So people are able to get information on a grand scale. You know, you're able to progress just that much farther and that much faster. And with, you know,
so why do we still have so many dumb people?
Because they don't know how to comprehend.
Okay, just because the information's there doesn't mean they'll look at it or believe it.
You got a lot of people,
or even, or not to be rude, even comprehend it.
I feel like argue. This is all this technology is making people dumber, not smarter.
It depends on how they absorb it.
Well, I look at it as dumber.
Are
a human being? You're a human being by themselves without any kind of technology is literally infinitely dumber than a person that has a cell phone in their hand. So
I don't think it makes them dumber. I think it makes people not care as much to learn it when they know they can just look it up
anytime.
And the secondary thing with that is that makes people dumber is not everything is true on the internet, and a lot of people will just see a headline or see a sentence and all of a sudden that's the gospel and that's the truth, and you can't fight against them, and they'll fight until their dying breath on something they don't even know is true or not.
Yeah, exactly. But when I say dumber, I don't mean like, you know, just a less intelligent being, not like a lesser IQ, but like if someone were to ask...
As if we would look at dumb people like you said, a chimp. We don't look at them that way, right?
Yeah, we don't look at ignorant people that way. But I'm saying like if you were to ask, if Kevin didn't have his phone in his hand and you asked him, what's the mass of the sun? Do you have any idea what that is? No. But if you ask me, Austin, what's the mass of the sun, and I have a phone in my hand, I can look it up.
No. That is an advanced person question. Now, if I went up to someone and I said, how many states is in the continental United States? And someone said 50. Dumb.
That's just schooling. Well, and here's what I'm thinking about, too, is our age demographic is unique in that we are kind of the middle point between not using technology every day, because think of how our schooling and how our upbringing was, to seeing that our children will probably have technology very, very early on. Yeah.
They'll be, when we have our kids, they're like,
here's a tablet.
I was about to say,
Or I was going to be like, do you want this chip installed in your baby before I give it to you?
Now, or you come back in the year for the tune-up?
You can get an extended warranty on that, but we're really going to need to see you back in 2 years.
Basically, yes.
Man, it's just, it's crazy. Another big thing is nanotechnology, nanobots. You know, you're looking at a cell phone, for instance, and just the rapid advancement of technology, like I've said before, is exponential. And that exponential growth is exponential in and of itself. You know, so if you look at a cell phone, right, compared to an old school computer, a computer from the 70s, a computer from the 80s, 90s, this cell phone is it can process things 1,000 times faster. It's 1,000 times stronger than processing it, and it's 100 times smaller. So that means it's 1,000,000 times more integrated than that old computer was. Now think about where we're going to be in 10 years. Think about where nanotechnology is at, where we're developing these smaller and smaller bits to where eventually you can get nanobots that could go into it, that you could insert into a human body and completely wipe a disease, completely rid humans of disease. And you could repair any kind of ailment with this type of technology, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to that.
To perfection.
Two things to say off of that. One,
depends on what your idea of perfection is, because if you look at just evolution in and of itself, there's always a more improved
version.
Not even a version, because you know, you start off with one microbe, you start off with a one cell microorganism, and then that develops into two cell. Then you have fish.
I saw the smoke coming out of the ears on that one.
Yeah, that one kind of got me tongue tied. But Zach, you made me lose what I was thinking of.
Damn it, Zach, you can't distract the monkey. Come on.
To piggyback on that, on how far we came, man, the first computers, some of those would take up a whole room.
Room. Yes.
And now you can very easily have a cell phone that's less than the size of your hand that has almost a terabyte A terabyte of space.
Yeah.
How insane is that?
And they're just going to keep making that technology smaller and smaller and more advanced and more advanced.
To the nanotech. So I just got a new car last week, flex for me. But with that, I was looking at protecting that vehicle. So I was doing all this information looking, and I was looking at like it's called ceramic coating, and there's another one that's a chemical compound that you can put on there. And it protects the paint and it protects the interior and it repels all, you know, nasty stuff. Well, with the ceramic stuff, they've encoded nanotechnology into it to where if you scratch your car, it repairs itself.
Huh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It literally will repair itself.
Your car will do
that? No, not mine. So I did a different one, but the ceramic, it's called ceramic coating, and there's a couple different kinds. But the technology in it, you could take, let's say, your shopping cart, and you could hit your shopping cart on the edge, and you could scratch it, and within an hour or something, it literally is gone.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So even then, just to talk about what you're saying, 5-10 years from now, where in the world are we going to be?
Exactly, and where are people going to be? Oh yeah.
I feel like Austin's just a secondhand Elon Musk / Joe Rogan.
I feel like I'm basically just a dumbed down version of them, to be honest. I just like studying this stuff. I like talking about this stuff. It's not hard stuff to understand. It's not something that's hard to conceptualize.
We gave you a soapbox to be able to talk about it.
I'm just saying the information isn't hard to understand by itself. If you just look at it and you think about what's being said, it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Well, low-key, some stuff does go over my head that you say. But I just pretend I know it.
Well, that's just because it's you, bud. That doesn't surprise anybody.
Interesting. Well, boys, we've had a hell of a discussion today, haven't we?
That got pretty deep.
What a surprise. I bet the next episode we'll find an iRobot reference in there as well.
I will try to keep it a little less sci-fi for you guys. How's that sound?
Turn us to a damn sci-fi podcast instead of nonsense. I mean,
it's nonsense. I mean, in a way, it's nonsense. Sci-fi. It's all theories, so
that's true. Just talking
none
about
of it's necessarily true. It's all nonsense in its own way.
Yep.
I hope the nerds out there are like, yeah, dude, yeah.
I've got to debunk them, though.
Like, yeah, like, this guy knows what he's talking true.
But,
I'm sorry, Deep Zach, my bad.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed episode 5 of Nonsenseology. Kevin, you want to plug the socials there?
Yeah, be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. It's Nonsenseology. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so be sure to leave us a review there. And
yes, please.
Spread the love.
Give it only if it's a good review. If it's a bad review, don't do it.
Keep it to yourself.
That's fine too. I mean,
I'll find you. You're in a small town right now. I'll find you.
So we appreciate old Brandon, our buddy here, joining us around the table today for another episode of Nonsenseology. Brandon, come back anytime and visit us.
How about next episode, bud?
Hey, it was fun. I'll come back as much as you want me. And looking forward to seeing where you guys go in the future. It's a good podcast, and I think you guys got a bright future ahead of you.
Well, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right. As always, catch you later. How about that?